Good day, students. Welcome to our today's teaching on e-learning platform. I am teaching from All Saints Secondary School, Oyibo. I am still Mrs. Florence Iwanyanwu, your government stroke CRK teacher. Today, I am going to teach government for SS1. And the topic we are going to talk about today is military system. Remember that the last topic we treated was Republican system. And I told you that Republican system had to do with a mark of end of a dispensation, a political dispensation. But today we are going to look at military system. We're going to look at the term military, its meaning, its features, and what exactly it entails, having them in the society. Okay, now we're going to take it step by step. Now let's look at the term military. Military rule is a use of force as an instrument of maintaining domination of a people despite resistance. Military rule is the use of force as an instrument of maintaining domination of a people despite resistance. Now, it might interest you to understand that the very first time Nigeria has a military rule in was 1966, January 15th. 1966, January 15th. It was headed by General J.T. Aguirre-Nsi. Okay, let's proceed. Under this system, members of the armed forces of a country take over power from incumbent administration, which might either be civilian or military government. Okay? So I want you to understand that whenever military take over power, it doesn't necessarily mean that it must be from a civilian government. They can still take over from a military administrator. All right? Because in the same 1966, like I told you before, the very first time it was recorded in Nigeria was January 15th. The coup was led by Colonel Zogo and his men. That's not in your scheme, but just want to give you a preamble. It was led by Colonel Zogo and his men, but he later stepped down for General J.T. Aguirre-Nsi because they came from the same region. Now, the same 1966, July 29 to be precise, there was another counter coup. That is to tell you that it doesn't necessarily have to do with civilian, the military taking over from a civilian. A military government and military administrator can also take over from a fellow military administrator. Now let's do it. The intervention of the military in politics can be traced back to the Roman Empire. Are you there? The Roman Empire was overthrown by his god, called the Praetor. The Praetor, with the other members. The Praetorian Guards led the foundation of coup d'etat. All right? Now, we say that the military do not come into power through election or appointment. Rather, they come in through coup d'etat. Now, coup spelled C-O-U-P, coup, C-O-U-P, coup. Now, d'etat, D apostrophe E-T-A-T, d'etat. You find out that the T there is silent and the P is also silent. So it is called coup d'etat. And this coup d'etat often could be bloody or bloodless. Okay? There are times when there is military takeover and yet people will not be killed. And oftentimes there is always a bloodbath. Thus, military intervention in politics was frequent in Latin American countries in the 1940s and 1950s. Okay? But, you know, it has now become a frequent incident in African states. We all know that one of the major reasons why military takeover in Africa is as a result of bribery and corruption. Well, I'm not tagging them to be perfect, but that's one of the major reasons. I think in Nigeria, we are very thankful to God that for the past 21 years, with all the things we have been seeing, you know, there had not been military intervention. And recently, the leaders had applied different strategies of retiring military generals. Recently, there was list of those the present administration just retired. You know, that's a strategy they have been applying in Nigeria, that those big shots, those big generals with very heavy experiences who would have planned one coup or the other, you know, were retired probably before they can even think about it. Probably that's why Nigeria has been able to hold democracy for 21 uninterrupted years. Okay, now let's continue. The reasons for military intervention in politics appear to be universal. Yet, social scientists have not agreed on the major causes. All right? Now, before we go to the causes, if we still have time, let us check out the features of military government. Let's look at the features. Now, one of the major features include the military rule by the use of decrees and edicts. The military rule by the use of decrees and edicts. Now, one of the times when I was teaching this topic, a student asked me, Auntie, why would they rule with decree and edict? What about the constitution? Of course, they will have to remove the constitution because the constitution wouldn't be as flexible as decrees. Okay? Remember that the people that make these decrees are not Democrats. They are selected military personnel who were tagged Supreme Military Council. And oftentimes, they don't really go through the normal due process. You know, they will just make the decrees and change them anytime they want. Okay. Another point is that the military is intolerant to opposition and criticisms. Hence, they make illegal arrests and detentions. They give all sorts of instructions which will be carried out, you know, by their subordinates. We are free under a democratic dispensation to say and do whatever we want to do. Though we might not really account for so many people missing, you know, to what happened to them, but whatever arrests that are being done will not be as bold as it would have been under a military administration. Okay, an average military man does not tolerate nonsense. Okay, another point is that there is no separation of powers. Rather, there is fusion of powers. Okay, inasmuch as there are different governors that will be appointed to take care of different states, yet they are all answerable to the one man, and they don't have powers of their own. Okay, now when we talk about separation of powers, we are looking at the three organs of government, you know, carrying out their functions. Under the military regime, the three organs of government are kept at a bay. It does not function. Yes, it does not function because it's just the executive arm alone that is in charge. All right, okay. Now, another point is, the existing constitution is partially or entirely suspended. The existing constitution is partially or entirely suspended, just like I told you before. Like, let's continue using the first military coup as an example. The very first time there was a military coup in Nigeria, the general then, General J.T. Aguirre-Ironsi, suspended the existing constitution and adopted a unitary constitution, okay, and of course he backed it up with Section 33 decree, and you having a unitary constitution means that constitution will be terribly flexible, okay. All right. Now, the next point is there is centralization of administration with very little delegation of authority. Just like I told you, even if there are delegations of authority or delegations of functions, those people must be answerable to the supreme leader. Okay? It will not be like a democratic dispensation where, you know, people are supposed to go through the Constitution. In this regard, the only person that speaks and they listen is the head of state. Okay. Now let's look at the next point. Autocratic rule, which does not observe any rule of law, is in practice. Autocratic rule, which does not observe any rule of law, is in practice. Like I said before, there is this popular saying that said that the worst democratic regime is better than the best military regime. The worst democratic regime is better than the best military regime. The reason is that it is only in a democratic dispensation that you get the functional part of the fundamental human rights. That is the only time you see the rule of law being practiced. Okay, like what's happening in America today, people demonstrating about the killing of George Floyd and the rest of them. You understand that they can only do that because it's a democratic era. If we are to be a military regime, you dare not. You dare not, because people could have been killed. Okay, I know similar things had been happening in Nigeria and a lot of people had been killed. The IPOB guys, for example, and nothing has been done. Honestly, it is because of the barbaric nature of Nigerian society. Ordinarily, it's not supposed to happen when we are practicing democracy. So whenever we have a military man in power, we say we have authoritarian leader. The military man usually apply autocratic system of leadership. In a autocratic system of leadership, they don't really care. They're not interested. They don't want to know whether the people are happy or not. Okay. Now let's look at another point. Coups and counter-coups exist. Okay. Remember that they don't come to power through elections or appointment. They only come into power through coups. Okay. And so long as military government is concerned, there must be existence of coup. There was once a Nigerian head of state, military head of state, who referred to himself to as a president. That is General Ibrahim Badamasi Babangida. During his time, he was always referring himself as the president, President Badamasi Babangida. But that will not make his regime democratic, okay? All right. Now, let's look at the next one. Former leaders are often detained and tried. Former leaders are often detained and tried. Now, why would they do that? They do it so that no other person will ask them questions. They do it because they are afraid of their own position, because they knew how they came. They knew that nobody gave them mandate. Okay? They just came on their own. They took powers into their hands and came on their own. And in order to maintain that status quo, they need to remove every possible obstacle. Okay? Applying every measure that they could have. If we recall, Nigeria was under military administration from 1966, and then there was a pause in 1979, and then there was yet another military coup in 1983, and then the military continued till 1993. Okay, and then after the June 12th election, which was aborted, okay, I refer to it as an aborted third republic because it never came to be. After the 1993 June 12th election, the military continued till 1998. Are you there? So I think it's a plus that Nigeria today is still without military government. Okay, now let us look at you know, sometimes people will ask, why is it so difficult for the military to understand that they were not trained in this form? Okay? All right? But I can assure you that The major reason why they take over power is because they are in position of the instrument of violence. When you have the instrument of violence in your position, you know you can tell someone to do whatever and the person will do it. For example, when you see them making drivers to frog jump, oh my goodness. Sometimes they'll make people go into stagnant water and probably drink it. Why would you want to drink a stagnant water? Because you don't want to be shot. So because they are also in position of instrument of violence, they use it to make people obey. Remember what I told you about force. Force is a very strong instrument for military. Okay? It's a very strong feature of military because they don't understand any other measure but force. Okay. Another point is they are hierarchically centralized. The military is hierarchically centralized from the highest person to the lowest person. Okay, they give command and order from the highest person to the lowest person. And of course, one of the things that we are made to understand is that they must obey the last command. They must obey the last command. Okay, it's important you understand this. Now, let's look at about two or three reasons for military intervention. Now, one of the major reasons for military intervention is bribery and corruption, like I said earlier, okay? When the leaders in a democratic era is not able to give account of how they have been using the money, there's a tendency that there might be military coup. Another point is lack of accountability, okay? Lack of what? Accountability. You know, when those of them are the helm of affairs, whether military or democratic regime, are unable to give account of what they're using with the money, there is bound to be another military coup. Okay? There's bound to be another military coup. Okay. Now, it is also important for you to know that tribal differences can also cause military intervention. Tribal differences can also cause military intervention. Okay, now we're going to stop here for today. I would want you to go back and check out other reasons for military intervention in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole. You know, state other reasons for military in Nigeria, for military intervention in Nigeria and in Africa as a whole. Okay? When you go through it, you will see that there's a huge difference between military system and monarchy system. Now, try as much as you can to keep on reading your book. God willing, one day this nightmare, yes, this is a nightmare. This nightmare will be over and we'll be able to come to school again. Take care of yourself. You'll hear from me next time.